The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It's my first Easter Sunday here at Good Shepherd. Oh, it's Father Fabu. It's an Easter Sunday and then last weekend as well. So for some of you, it's our first Easter Sunday together, which I'm very grateful for. To me as well, what a grace to be able to celebrate Anderson's baptism. But this is... The Easter grace is what Jesus kind of obtained, won for us in his Paschal mystery. Addison will receive here this morning a new birth, even greater than the amazing gift and the reality of her physical birth. Is our birth into eternal life and this adoption which we prayed about. We had a couple of funerals this week at St. Robert's, and one of them, a person by the name of David Church, passed away, and his son, by the name of David Church, shared a few reflections and thoughts about his father at the end of Mass. And one of the things he shared was how, you know, he'd been able to spend some extra time with his father in the last weeks of his life and his final illness, and I was grateful for that, but how among his, there are many conversations, and one of them, at some point, his father was talking about the days leading up to his marriage to David's mom, his wife, and he expressed, David shared on his dad, and shared on his friend, his nervousness. There was a kind of a certain fear there the day before his wedding. He said, I never knew that about my father. I'd never known that. And again, there was a gratitude there. Not just that he knew new facts about his father, but precisely because it was his father. And in knowing that, even in those days, how it strengthened his relationship with his father. Comes to mind because, this is true for all of us. I mean, I've experienced that in my own life and others, how even at the end of our lives, even when there's a close relationship with someone, could be a spouse, could be a child or a parent or a sibling or a friend, someone we have truly known, we never know everything and how, you know, there's things that we learn. I never knew that about this person. Can I share another story? I don't want to go on too long, but it's very funny. I was with, a mother and a son. The husband and the father had passed, and they were talking, sharing, they were preparing for their funeral, and the son shared about how once when he was a young boy, it might have been with his siblings or friends, but they had gone into the watermelon field of the neighbor and stolen a watermelon, and they had gotten caught, and they had been their grandmother. So the mother of the mother that was there, the grandmother said, well, you have a choice. Either I can tell your parents, or I can give you a punishment where you get down and you have to kneel in these rocks for 30 minutes. The son chose kneeling in the rocks for 30 minutes. And I turned to the son, I turned to the mother, when did you hear about this? And she said, right now. The grandmother had never said a word. We learn. Well, for all of us, right, it's not just learning more about the person and their history, absolutely, but the reality of, because we're made in God's image, there's something that's, you might say, inexhaustible about each of us. We never get to the point where, oh, I know everything there is to know about that person. I know them fully, but there's always more. And what a great blessing that is, because of course we're made for God, we're made for one another. But that's abundantly true when it comes to God. I think, thinking in particular with Jesus and our gospel account. This is about Sunday evening, Easter Sunday. We hear about these two disciples that we know as the two disciples that Jesus appeared to on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and this other disciple. They've come back to Jerusalem. They've shared this good news. Jesus is alive. We encountered him. And then Jesus is there. It might be the same moment that we heard about last week, where Jesus appeared on Sunday, Easter Sunday evening, behind locked doors. He breathed on his apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Might even be another instance that same night, but it's Easter Sunday night. And Jesus, the first thing he does, right, is to make it clear that he is risen, that he's alive. It's astounding, not surprisingly so, to his disciples. Even though he'd been telling them about it again and again, they knew Jesus, but they didn't know him fully, not even close. And it's from that, as they come to know him, facts about him, truths about him, this most important truth that he's risen from the dead, that then he's able to draw them into a deeper relationship with us. You and I, every single one of us, made by God out of love, but made for God, to know God, right? Our faith is not just knowing stuff. It is affirming truths, absolutely. We don't, you might say, have faith in faith. We have faith in God. And it's to draw us into this relationship and to know him. And there's always more. There's always more. And so one of the graces of the Easter season, and certainly this Sunday as well, included in that, is this opportunity of you and I were made to know God. That's eternal life. That's abundant life. And to be able to, as we encounter him, above all here at the Mass, see, I want to know him more. He wants to reveal himself more. And from that, as we saw in this instance on Easter Sunday evening, then he opens their minds to the scriptures. Helps them to see how all of these things, right? This is all the Old Testament, what we would call the Old Testament now. How all of that is about Jesus and is speaking about his life and certainly then his death and resurrection. And all of these facts, all of these truths, they take on new meaning, but it's all in the context of knowing Jesus. And of course, that knowledge, again, right, not just a head knowledge, but in Scripture, this word here, and the one that John uses in our second reading throughout, is that personal knowledge. I know you as a person. I know who you are. And there's a relationship. The one that God uses for him and himself that he says is similar is that intimate relationship and knowledge between a husband and a wife. This is what God wants for us. This is the gift of Easter. Certainly it's part of the gift of baptism, faith in baptism. Kind of renew and heal that relationship, begin that, but it's not a static thing. We grow in that. To know, yes, more about Jesus, but also to know Jesus. So our second reading, John talks about, right? Because all of our readings, the first reading, the second reading, even Jesus referring to it, right? It's also about why. Why did Jesus do all of this? The facts, and certainly Jesus' resurrection. But why? For the forgiveness of sins. Take us out of the kingdom of darkness. What happens in baptism. For older, the forgiveness of all of our personal sins as well. the state of original sin and to make us his adopted child. He says, I want all of us to, Jesus, to share in making that known. And so John says, I'm telling you this. God reveals himself and who he is and what he's done so that we wouldn't sin. But if we do sin, we have Jesus. And we have this advocate, as he puts it, the expiation for our sins. He says, but not only just for us, but for everyone, for all the sins of the world. There's no comparison between God's mercy and what Jesus has won for us and his expiating our sins and all the sins of the world. It's horrific and as great in our minds as we could add up and look at all the sins of the world. At one point, Jesus said to St. Faustina, he said, but those are like a drop of water tossed into the furnace of my love. But you say to know that. So, but then Jesus or Paul, John goes on to say, but you know, so if we do sin, we have Jesus who will forgive our sins. But he says, but then if I don't keep his commandments and I say that I know him, I'm a liar. Those things seem to be opposed. Well, wait a second. We do know Jesus and we don't know him perfectly. But if I sin, he's saying, turn to Jesus and Jesus forgives my sin if I ask for it, but then somehow, but no, you're a liar. I say, no, he's talking about two different situations. Attentive to both, because certainly we can fall into them. But the difference is somebody, right, who is turning to Jesus saying, here's my sin, if I fell into sin. And yes, part of knowing Jesus, the more we know Jesus and his love for us, that love heals us and that love strengthens us and that love allows us not only to say, yes, I acknowledge that sin, but you're strengthening me not to sin. But at times, part of how we get there is through when we fall running to Jesus. But that's a different situation than somebody who says, I know Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus loves me and I love Jesus, but that area of his teachings, I don't get it, or I don't agree with it, or Jesus understands. But I don't have any intention of changing or trying to change. We say that's different. Suppose John's saying, I can't say I know Jesus. If I say, Jesus, here's what you've told me, here's how you've told me to love, here's how you've told me to live, here's what it means to love you and to love others, but somehow I rejected that. Here's that difference. And he's saying that, then I don't know Jesus. You know, sometimes that's with God. Want to be attentive. What does God say about worshiping and knowing him and, right, the gift of his church? The church is not just his apostles sitting down and saying, well, how can we keep this going? So Jesus, I'm founding this church and I'm keeping it going. And this is where you find him. But also, of course, it's one another, sometimes above all in relationships. God teaches us about relationships or about marriage, about money, about strangers and foreigners, all of these things. So we want to know Jesus, to know life is to have it all or to accept it all. So this opportunity at Easter, this Sunday, this week, you can see as Jesus wants and does reveal himself, it's to know him, not just to know about him, but to know him and to grow in that knowledge. There's always more, abundantly so with Jesus. At the end of our lives, as we stand before Jesus, salvation doesn't lie in me passing perfectly a theological exam. There's not paperwork handed out at the final judgment at the end of our lives. It's, do I know you? Do I know Jesus? Does he know me? In one way he knows me, but the image he gave us in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. We do have to invite him in. And to know that that's possible, that's true for each and every one of us. Those areas of our life where God may seem distant or uninvolved or even uncaring, Jesus is risen. I mean, Jesus is here now, alive for each of us, for you. He will invite him in to let him get to know you and truly to get to know him. He will say, Jesus says, I know you. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. Say to God, I know you, you're my Father, you're my Lord, and ask for that grace, and to know that God always gives it.